Have you ever experienced that sinking feeling on Sunday evening as the weekend draws to a close? That creeping dread of returning to work the next day? Patrick Lencioni calls this the Sunday blues, and he's made it his mission to understand why so many of us experience this phenomenon, regardless of our position, salary, or industry. His book, The Truth About Employee Engagement, has become a cornerstone text for companies like Google and Microsoft, with executives citing it as the foundation for their workplace culture initiatives. The book has sold over 2 million copies worldwide and continues to influence how organizations approach management. What makes this book particularly powerful is its accessibility. Lencioni presents profound workplace insights through a compelling narrative that resonates with everyone from CEOs to entry-level employees. Through the journey of Brian Bailey, a successful executive turned pizza shop manager, Lencioni reveals the universal principles that determine whether we'll dread Monday mornings or embrace them with enthusiasm. Brian Bailey had built his career on understanding what makes employees tick. As CEO of JMJ Fitness Machines, he transformed a struggling equipment manufacturer into an award-winning workplace with remarkably high employee engagement. His leadership philosophy centered on providing meaningful work for his people, especially those from less privileged backgrounds. When industry consolidation forced Brian to sell JMJ, he found himself adrift. Despite financial security and a beautiful retirement home at Lake Tahoe, Brian quickly discovered that golf, skiing, and leisure weren't enough to fulfill him. After a skiing injury left him homebound, his restlessness reached a breaking point. During this period of forced inactivity, Brian encountered Gene and Joe's, a tired Italian restaurant with visibly disengaged employees. Rather than simply observing this workplace dysfunction, Brian made a decision that would shock everyone in his life. He applied for a weekend manager position at the restaurant, offering to work for free initially to prove his sincerity. When Brian finally convinced the skeptical owner Joe to hire him, he had to face an even bigger challenge, explaining to his wife Leslie why a former CEO would want to manage a silly Italian restaurant. Brian's response revealed his deeper motivation. The people who work there deserve a tolerable job as much as anyone else. He saw the restaurant as the perfect laboratory to test his theories about workplace engagement and to prove that his success at JMJ wasn't a fluke. What makes this story so compelling is how it upends our expectations about career trajectories. We're conditioned to see advancement as moving up the corporate ladder, not sideways or downward. Yet Brian's journey demonstrates that meaning can be found in unexpected places when we focus on the human elements of work rather than status or compensation. Brian's first few shifts at Gene and Joe's confirmed his suspicions. The restaurant was a textbook example of workplace misery. Employees arrived late, made frequent errors, and even hid from customers who arrived near closing time. There was no pride in the work, no connection between staff members, and certainly no joy in serving customers. Rather than implementing a conventional management approach focused on discipline and procedures, Brian began an experiment. He gathered the staff and made a bold announcement. He would make them enjoy their jobs. His initial offer of a temporary pay increase caught their attention, but the real transformation began with his introduction of three key principles. The first pillar was measurement. Brian worked with each employee to establish personalized metrics that would allow them to gauge their own success. Carl, the apathetic drive-thru worker, would track error-free orders and customer smiles. Waitresses would count tips and unprompted compliments. The delivery driver would focus on accuracy and customer reactions rather than speed. These metrics weren't imposed from above, but developed collaboratively, giving employees ownership of their performance. When initial results showed improvement, but Brian sensed something was still missing, he introduced the second pillar, relevance. He challenged each employee to identify who benefits from their work and how they make a difference in others' lives. This conversation revealed beautiful insights. Patty shared how she helped a struggling mother with four unruly children, while others recognized how their roles supported their colleagues' success. Even the dishwasher Salvatore came to understand that his clean dishes enabled everyone else's work. The third pillar, which Brian implemented more subtly, was addressing anonymity. Rather than conducting formal interviews, he simply became more human, asking genuine questions about employees' lives, sharing relevant articles with them, and finding small ways to show interest in their personal interests. When Salvatore left for Idaho, Brian organized the restaurant's first ever goodbye lunch, demonstrating that each person mattered. These three principles, measurement, relevance, and eliminating anonymity, formed the foundation of Brian's approach. What's remarkable is their simplicity. There's nothing complex or revolutionary about these ideas in isolation, yet their combined implementation created profound changes in the restaurant's culture and performance. Within weeks, Brian's experiment began showing measurable results. The restaurant's atmosphere transformed from what Brian had described as morgue-like to energetic and engaged. Revenue increased steadily, tips skyrocketed, and employees began knowing regular customers by name. More importantly, the staff started discussing their work, sharing advice on efficiency and customer service, and even opening up about their lives outside work. One particularly telling moment came when a busload of basketball fans arrived just as the restaurant was preparing to close. In the past, staff would have hidden and turned away this business. Under Brian's leadership, they not only welcomed the hungry customers, but served them with enthusiasm. Afterward, Brian surprised his exhausted team by trading some of Gene and Joe's food with other local restaurants to provide them with Chinese and Mexican cuisine. As they enjoyed this impromptu meal together, employees began sharing personal stories for the first time, strengthening their sense of community. Not every aspect of the transformation was smooth. When Harrison, the delivery driver, refused to embrace the new approach and blamed kitchen staff for his own mistakes, Brian had to make the difficult decision to terminate his employment. This demonstrated an important aspect of the engagement model. It requires commitment from both management and employees. While managers must create the conditions for fulfillment, employees must be willing to engage with the process. The restaurant's improvement accelerated as Brian implemented all three principles simultaneously. To ensure consistency, he created a simple spreadsheet tracking each employee's measurables, relevance factors, and personal interests, reviewing it daily before work. This systematic approach ensured that no element of his theory was neglected. Perhaps the most significant indicator of success came when Migo, a previously quiet utility worker, began taking on greater responsibility. When Brian asked if Migo thought he could eventually manage the restaurant, Migo's confident, "I think I could do it," marked a crucial moment, not just for the restaurant's future, but for Migo's personal development. This transformation from disengaged worker to aspiring manager exemplifies the profound impact that addressing job misery can have on individual lives. Brian's experiment at Gene and Joe's might have remained a small-scale success story had it not been for an unexpected call from his former colleague Rick Simpson. Rick offered Brian a position as CEO of Desert Mountain Sports, a struggling sporting goods chain with headquarters near Brian's home. This opportunity would allow Brian to test whether his engagement principles could work at a larger scale. After negotiating with Leslie to ensure he could maintain work-life balance and continue his involvement with Gene and Joe's, Brian accepted the position. At Desert Mountain, he discovered familiar problems: high employee turnover, low motivation, and frustrated managers. The company's regional managers blamed these issues on low pay, lack of career advancement, and poor education systems, excuses Brian didn't accept. In a pivotal meeting with his executive team, Brian challenged their assumptions about management. When they expressed skepticism about his simple theory of job misery, Brian asked whether they needed someone smarter to tell them how to run the business. He argued that despite their intelligence and industry knowledge, they were still struggling, leaving them with two options: give up or try his approach to make employees' work lives more meaningful. Brian and his team developed a comprehensive plan to transform management at Desert Mountain Sports. They chose the struggling Tahoe store for their pilot program, where Rob boldly acknowledged the company's failures and introduced Brian's theory that people deserve to like their jobs. The intervention focused on addressing immeasurement and irrelevance, with staff identifying their key metrics and the people they impact. Over 2 months, Brian and his regional VPs conducted similar interventions at all 24 company stores. Though some managers left, most embraced the new approach. By his 6-month anniversary, the CFO delivered welcome news. Desert Mountain Sports had officially started growing again. The company's improvement accelerated over the next 3 months. 2 stores slated for closure remained open, and discussions began about expansion rather than contraction. The Desert Mountain Sports transformation validates Brian's theory on a larger scale. It demonstrates that the principles of measurement, relevance, and eliminating anonymity aren't just applicable to small businesses, but can transform entire organizations when implemented systematically. What makes Brian's approach so powerful is its universality. The principles apply regardless of industry, position, or geography. When Brian later consults with a London hotel chain, he successfully implements his approach across Europe, confirming that his ideas about ending workplace misery transcend cultural boundaries. This universality stems from addressing fundamental human needs rather than industry-specific practices. Everyone needs to feel known and valued as an individual, eliminating anonymity. Everyone needs to understand how their work impacts others, relevance. And everyone needs to gauge their own progress and contribution, measurement. These needs exist whether you're a CEO like Brian, a marketing VP like Nancy, an administrative assistant like Jenny, a room service attendant like Carson, a box boy like Andy, a professional athlete like Michael, or a construction foreman like Peter. The specific implementation may vary, but the underlying principles remain constant. For executives like Nancy, anonymity might seem unlikely. Yet many senior leaders feel their bosses only care about their performance, not them as individuals. Their CEOs need to develop genuine concern for their lives and careers without patronizing them. For relevance, executives need to connect their work to the company's mission and understand how they impact their team's development. For measurement, they need metrics that connect to meaningful purposes beyond financial results. At the other end of the organizational chart, someone like Andy the box boy might feel overlooked by management. His manager needs to connect with him through personal interests before developing a more authentic relationship. For relevance, Andy needs help discovering meaningful customer impact, perhaps through unique checkout interactions like sharing weather reports or trivia. For measurement, Andy needs metrics like customer laughs or checkout wait times to monitor his own performance. Even highly paid professionals like Michael, the NFL wide receiver, can experience job misery. Despite fame and wealth, Michael feels his coach only cares about his on-field performance. He needs his coach to show interest in his off-field life and help him see how his play brings joy to fans and impacts everyone from the general manager to the equipment assistant. Job misery creates staggering economic and human costs that extend far beyond workplace productivity. While organizations certainly suffer when employees are disengaged through higher turnover, lower quality work, and reduced customer satisfaction, the social cost may be even more significant. Studies estimate that disengaged employees cost U.S. companies between $450 to $550 billion annually in lost productivity, increased healthcare costs, and workplace accidents. Even more concerning, research shows that companies with low employee engagement scores experience 18% lower productivity and 16% lower profitability. Miserable employees don't leave their frustration at work. They carry it home, spreading cynicism and weariness to spouses, children, friends, and strangers. This creates a ripple effect of family stress, diminished appreciation for life's blessings, and sometimes even substance abuse or violence. Mental health professionals report that work-related stress is a leading factor in depression, anxiety, and relationship problems. Children of chronically unhappy workers often show increased behavioral issues and decreased academic performance. The spillover affects communities too, as disengaged workers are less likely to volunteer, participate in civic activities, or contribute positively to their neighborhoods. Consider how much of our lives we spend working. For most adults, work consumes roughly half our waking hours, approximately 90,000 hours over a lifetime. When those hours are filled with dread, boredom, or frustration, the impact on our overall well-being is profound. We lose not just productivity, but potential for joy, creativity, and connection. Physical health suffers too, with studies linking job dissatisfaction to increased rates of heart disease, immune system disorders, and chronic pain conditions. The stress of job misery often leads to poor sleep patterns, unhealthy eating habits, and reduced physical activity. What makes this tragedy particularly poignant is how unnecessary it is. As Brian discovered, the solutions to job misery aren't complex or expensive. They don't require revolutionary business models or cutting-edge technology. They simply require managers who are willing to see employees as whole people, help them understand their impact, and give them tools to measure their success. Simple changes like regular feedback sessions, clear goal setting, and recognition programs can dramatically improve employee engagement. Companies that implement basic engagement strategies see an average 21% increase in productivity and a 41% reduction in absenteeism. Even small improvements in job satisfaction can yield significant benefits for both individuals and organizations. The cost of ignoring employee engagement is simply too high, both for businesses and society at large. When organizations invest in creating meaningful work environments, they don't just improve their bottom line. They contribute to healthier families, stronger communities, and a more positive society overall. Perhaps the most profound insight from Brian's journey is the realization that management itself can be a ministry, a genuine service to others. By helping employees find engagement and success in their work, managers profoundly impact the emotional, financial, physical, and spiritual health of workers and their families. This revelation challenges traditional views of management as merely a set of administrative tasks or profit-driven decisions. This perspective transforms how we view leadership positions. Rather than seeing management as primarily about achieving business results or advancing one's career, it becomes a calling to serve others by creating environments where they can thrive. Effective managers actively listen to their team members' aspirations, provide opportunities for growth, and remove obstacles that prevent success. They understand that each interaction, whether a performance review, project assignment, or casual conversation, carries the potential to uplift or discourage. The impact of thoughtful management extends far beyond the workplace. When employees find fulfillment at work, they bring more energy and positivity to their families and communities. A worker who feels valued and accomplished at work is more likely to be patient with their children, engaged in their relationships, and involved in community activities. The confidence gained from professional achievement often translates into personal growth and stronger family bonds. Studies have shown that job satisfaction directly correlates with overall life satisfaction, marital happiness, and parenting effectiveness. Managers have unique opportunities to shape organizational culture through daily decisions and interactions. They can foster environments that prioritize work-life balance, recognize individual contributions, and support personal development. Simple actions like accommodating family commitments, celebrating milestones, or providing mentorship create ripple effects that touch countless lives. A manager who helps an employee develop new skills or navigate a career transition isn't just improving workplace performance, they're potentially changing the trajectory of that person's life and their family's future. The real tragedy isn't that more people don't work in traditional service roles, but that many managers haven't recognized they already occupy positions of profound service to others. Every day, managers have opportunities to know their people as individuals, help them understand their impact, and give them tools to measure their success. This might involve creating clear performance metrics, offering regular feedback, or helping employees connect their daily tasks to larger organizational goals. When managers embrace their role as servants first and executives second, they create cascading benefits that extend far beyond quarterly results or annual reviews. For managers looking to improve employee engagement, three essential steps provide a practical roadmap for implementation. First, conduct an honest self-assessment by asking specific questions. Do you know your team members' hobbies, family situations, and career aspirations? Can your employees articulate who benefits from their daily work? Do they have concrete ways to measure their progress beyond annual reviews? This assessment should be detailed and documented, serving as a baseline for improvement. Second, gather comprehensive employee feedback through multiple channels. This might include anonymous surveys, one-on-one discussions, and team feedback sessions. The key is to verify whether your self-assessment aligns with employee perceptions. Often, managers discover significant gaps between their assumptions and reality. For instance, you might think weekly status meetings provide sufficient measurement tools, while employees feel unclear about their day-to-day progress. Finally, develop a detailed action plan addressing any identified deficiencies. This plan should include specific initiatives like scheduled monthly career discussions, customer impact stories shared in team meetings, or implementing daily progress tracking tools. The plan must be concrete, with clear timelines and accountability measures. Regular check-ins ensure consistent implementation and allow for necessary adjustments. Implementing these principles requires significant courage and vulnerability for managers. Many hesitate to take genuine interest in employees' lives because it feels uncomfortable or unprofessional. Some worry about crossing personal boundaries or appearing intrusive. Others fear that discussing work's meaning might seem patronizing, particularly with entry-level positions. The concern about establishing measurements often stems from past experiences with micromanagement or fear of creating undue stress. Yet, the most effective managers overcome this discomfort because they recognize its fundamental importance to team success. They understand that knowing their people as individuals, their challenges, aspirations, and motivations creates the foundation for trust and engagement. They've learned that helping employees see their impact, whether it's helping customers solve problems or supporting colleagues' success, creates a sense of purpose that drives performance. These managers have discovered that appropriate measurement tools, from simple checklists to sophisticated metrics, give employees the autonomy and confidence to manage their own success. The beauty of this approach lies in its simplicity and accessibility. It doesn't require expensive software, consultants, or complex organizational changes. Instead, it demands consistent attention to three fundamental human needs: personal recognition, purposeful work, and clear success metrics. Managers can begin implementing these principles immediately through simple actions like scheduling regular check-ins, sharing customer feedback, or creating basic progress tracking tools. The primary investment is time and emotional energy, resources that, while valuable, are available to every leader regardless of their organization's size or budget constraints. Success comes from persistent, small actions rather than grand initiatives. Regular 5-minute conversations about family matters, brief emails sharing positive customer feedback, or quick daily progress checks can gradually transform team engagement and performance. The key is consistency and authenticity in applying these principles over time. When Brian's time at Desert Mountain Sports ends abruptly due to the company's sale, he initially worries that the cultural transformation might disappear under new ownership. Rick reminds him of an important truth. Employees will carry these ideas to their next workplaces. The principles of engagement aren't confined to a single organization, but spread as people experience their power and share them with others. This insight speaks to how cultural change happens, not just through books and formal training programs, but through lived experience. When employees experience the difference between miserable and engaging workplaces, they develop expectations and skills they take with them throughout their careers. Some become managers themselves, implementing these principles with their own teams. Others become advocates, seeking out organizations that value engagement and avoiding those that don't. The final scene of Brian's story beautifully illustrates this ripple effect. After his consulting work in London, Brian receives a package containing t-shirts branded Migo and Joe's Pizza and Pasta. Here, there, everywhere. Migo has not only taken over management, but has become a partner in the restaurant, continuing and expanding Brian's legacy. This small detail demonstrates how transformational leadership creates lasting change that extends beyond the leader's direct involvement. In our own workplaces, we can be Brian or Migo, agents of change who recognize that work doesn't have to be miserable. Whether we manage others or not, we can advocate for environments where people feel known, understand their impact, and can measure their success. In doing so, we don't just improve our own work experience, we contribute to a broader movement toward more humane and fulfilling workplaces for everyone.